This podcast is made possible by Heap, a smarter approach to product analytics. Learn everything about your users, run rapid experiments, and iterate quickly. For hypothesis-driven product managers, there's no better tool. Learn more at heap.io.
Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
So I work with the selling platform team at eBay. I have been into product management for close to a decade now. I started as an engineer and then I did my own startup for around 3 years. After that, I joined a company in the risk and compliance space where I started a platform product management team, and there we built a platform ground up. So it already had a platform and we had to like kind of reimagine the whole thing. And that was a multi-year journey for us. It was very exciting. And after that, I joined eBay's selling platform team. So I have been a platform product manager for quite some time now. So I hope to share some of my learnings with you here. So I think we already know the topic for the evening, five things to remember when managing platforms and APIs. But these are obviously all from my personal experience. I'm sure there are many more things that many other folks will tell you guys about. But for the ones that I'm going to cover here, I would stress that these are not only the five things to remember, these are more like the five things we should never forget. So just take it one step further. You just cannot afford to ignore any of these things when you're thinking about how to work with platforms, APIs, developer ecosystem, and all of those things, right? So what I am planning to cover as part of this session is a very quick introduction to technical product management, because that's how we define the role for product managers who are managing platforms and APIs. Different companies have different names for that role. So we can look at some of the definitions and you guys can stop and ask me if you have further questions around what is that. The reason is that to help us understand what we are supposed to do as product managers, and then I'll jump into what are the things to keep in mind when working on these products, and then I'll try to share some recipes for success, because some of the platforms that I have worked on has been successful. So hopefully there are some learnings from those. So that's kind of my agenda for the next 30 or 40 minutes or so. So who's a technical product manager? So this is like a textbook definition of who a technical product manager is. But the one point that I would like to highlight, the main thing to highlight is a technical product manager is also a business role, because a lot of times we think a technical PM is supposed to sit down with the engineering team and then design and go through architecture options, solutions, write code, maybe, all of that, right? So I know the interview process often, expects us to really be very, very conversant. And if you're coming from a technical background, it doesn't hurt. In fact, it helps because you do need to work with engineering teams, and your users are also essentially developers and other technical people. So it really helps to understand. However, the role of a PM is not to propose technical solutions. It still remains to be a business-focused role, and we still have to think about users, we have to think about business values, we have to think how we can bring value to the product, what are the revenues. All of that is basically what the role is structured around. We have other supporting teams or partner teams who help us in this journey, but as a PM, the key goal is to meet the business proposition for the product, which in this case is a platform or API. So again, this is like if you just search, do a Google search, you will find like many different versions of all these definitions, like what is a platform and things like that. I picked this one because I kind of found this analogy very interesting and apt, that a platform is more like an electrical outlet where you can easily plug and play things, right? So in some cases, we are trying to build a product from ground up where we do all the user research, case studies, user stories, and then we think about the features and the improvements, right? For the platform, the main thing is we understand what are the use cases that the platform should support, but end of the day, we should not try to build everything, because then it does not remain a platform. The main recipe of a platform is you should be able to very easily do integrations, plug and play things, and be able to enable other teams, right? So in my opinion, that is the main value of having a platform-based approach versus having like a core product-based approach. And what are APIs? Again, API stands for Application Programming Interface, we all know that. But if I were to look at it at a very high level, API is nothing but a software intermediary where it helps two systems to talk to each other. There will always be a request, so one system will be sending a request to another system, there will be some processing happening in the background, and then a whole bunch of data will go back to the first system, right? The second system will send back some sort of data to the first system, which is more like a handshake, and we call this a request-response loop. So that is essentially what APIs do. There, the requests and the responses can be in many different formats, like JSON and other, you would have heard all those common things. But then end of the day, the language and everything can be abstracted. But from a PM's point of view, what should matter is how are these two systems talking to each other? What are the data points and how that handshake is happening? How fast and efficiently is that happening? All of those things, right? So that's in a nutshell what I wanted to cover as like really high level basics before we jump into the things that I would recommend you think through while you're, you know, working on platforms. The first thing I want to highlight is platforms and APIs are sticky. And I think most of the people will think that's awesome, right? Like, because we have heard so much about stickiness. We want to create products that are sticky. Sticky customers are great. They never leave our products and they are the champions, right? So you would think, wow, it's how it's supposed to be. So why should I, you know, call it out and like have a picture which clearly says it can get messy, right? But the thing I would like to point out is, think about a scenario where your users are not just like a regular consumer who's just pulling out a phone and, you know, doing a bunch of things. They are developers. They are, you know, they're writing code to talk to your platform, which means there's a lot of work, and the level of engagement or the level of investment that goes into integrating with that platform is quite high. So they do not want to move very easily. So if they have integrated with a certain version of your platform, it means they want to just stay there forever, and they just want it to keep working so that they don't have to do any additional work going forward, right? So say as a product manager, I would like to see my product move because I have released like a version one of the platform and I want it to keep evolving, which might at times mean I need to propose some breaking changes. However, you cannot forget all the users who are already there on that platform who cannot move seamlessly, who have to do a ton of work if we need them to move with us. So all those, you know, version control, backward compatibility, you cannot break, all of those things come into picture. How do you keep maintaining? And then beyond a point, it becomes very tricky because then you have to keep maintaining various different versions. Every time you move, you leave behind an older version of the product. And then beyond a point, that becomes really unmanageable. Think about the maintenance overhead the team's gonna have. So, which is why being sticky is not such a good thing for a platform. But having said that, do we not want more people on our platform? Of course we do. What it means is whenever you're designing them, keep in mind backward compatibility. Do not make breaking changes such that users are like completely grounded and they cannot move forward. And this is some of the, you know, design choices that you have to keep in mind. There's no easy answer to this. I think most of the companies, especially the ones who have very complex ecosystems and who have a lot of legacy in terms of technology with them. They all go through these cycles, and which is why platform product management becomes like a really tricky job to handle, I'd say. So the second thing I want to talk about is the new year is coming, so I'm sure a lot of you are thinking about the next year, yearly planning, resolutions, all of that, right? But I would say that when you're thinking about platforms, don't think the next year, think about the next decade, because platform products usually live much longer than any other consumer B2C kind of products that you might see, right? And like I said in my first slide, they are sticky. So if you don't build it right, and if you haven't thought through a lot of future scenarios where you will have to make adjustments to scale the platform, what will happen if suddenly there's like a surge of users? You do want your platform to get popular, right? So of course you cannot see the future entirely, but you at least have to make an attempt to think, how will this platform behave in the next 5 years or 10 years? So that should be the horizon. And just thinking for the next 1 year for a platform product is usually not enough. So it certainly needs to be a multi-year journey. So the third thing I want to talk about is plan your go-to-market like you would for any other product launch. So the reason I say this is, you would think, of course, if this is a product, you have to plan your go-to-market. But then in some cases, you might think that this is less relevant for a platform. So if I am launching like a Zazzy new app or like an Instagram feature or something like that, that needs to have a more targeted approach. This might not be equally true for a platform, an API where it's like more obscure or even less tangible. Any software is intangible, but softwares and like platforms, you can't even see, it's all like conceptual and data and just data conflicts and pipelines, right? So does it even make sense to, do like a very detailed go-to-market plan? Do I need to sit down with marketing and, all of that? And the answer is yes, absolutely yes. Because if we don't do that, we do not understand who's our target segment. We do not talk to those users, and our platform won't see adoption. And without adoption, like any other product, the platform or a set of APIs will also die. They cannot live without a robust set of user base. So you certainly need to do all this planning with the marketing team. It might mean different things when you think about platforms. It might not mean the same things. It might not mean a TV commercial or something of that sort, but it might mean that you're hosting developer councils where you're inviting your developers to come and sit down and talk to you and tell them what you're planning to build, get early feedback, tell them when this is coming, all of that, so that at least they are well aware that yes, this is happening. So the channels will be different, but the exercise and the rigor needs to be the same. So the number four topic on my list is partnerships. And by partnerships, I mean the partner ecosystem. So I'm sure all of you already know this, but I think it's worth calling out. If we were to see some of the most popular, say iOS, right? The reason why it became so hugely successful is because of the apps that were available in that ecosystem. And all those apps were built by partners and not by Apple. So whenever you're launching a platform-based product, it's very, very important to keep in mind the partner ecosystem and see how you can truly be partners, not for the name's sake, but actually partnering with them means giving them the right kind of tools, giving them access to the right kind of data, talking to them while making some of the design choices and decisions so that their life is easier and they're willing to partner with you. Because the more partners you have, they will build those integrations or those channels for you through which a disproportionate number of users will actually come into your systems, right? So it's all about that when you're building partner platforms and also APIs. And I see that every day in my job, where we have dedicated channels where we invite partners, we have partner days, we have very regular and periodic meetings with them to understand what are their pain points, if they're moving away, why are they doing that, can we do something, and in fact partners are one of the reasons why a lot of users don't move. So if a key partner is still holding on to an older version of your platform, that means all the users who are tied to that partner or coming in through that partner is stuck in that older version. So at times it becomes really important to sway them in the other direction so that they are ready to come on board on the newer version. And the moment that one partner does that, you know, all the users tied to them do. And if that's a key partner, then a lot of the other partners also follow suit, because if they don't, then they lose out and they lose business, because the users move from that partner who has not moved to the one who has, right? Because now they can get the benefit of the new platform. So all of those equations are in play when this is made. So when you're dealing with platforms, partners are absolutely important. And the fifth thing is documentation is king. And I say king because it's no less than that. Because if you are not putting down exactly how your platform is supposed to behave, exactly what it's supposed to do, if you're not giving the right kind of examples, if you're not handing this out in a way that's understood and easily followed and searchable and all of that, then you know, it can create all sorts of problems. Your platform may start getting used in ways which is not meant to be, and then you will see use cases where it becomes more and more tricky for you to manage. You know, maybe somebody just did it some other way, it still works, but shouldn't have been, and you know, it will start creating all kinds of complexities. And you might think, okay, we all understand documentation is needed, so what's a big deal about it? Don't skimp, of course, you need to give all the details, but the next part is also equally important. Don't overdo. Because if your documentation is too big, there are two things. One is people won't read it. And the second thing is they'll get lost and they will not know where to find information, which will mean your support team and all the other customer success teams, they will start getting more and more and more calls. They'll get inundated, because without documentation, platforms and APIs cannot be used. So if your documentation is not very user-friendly, yes, if people cannot help themselves, they'll start reaching out to all those contact channels, right? And those things will get inundated, and that won't scale beyond the point. So it might look obvious and might look like, duh, we all know this, but then I really cannot stress enough how important this is. So this is the one I was talking about, that this is a bonus tip, because I've already covered all the five things that I wanted to talk about, but I thought, why not a few more? So this is very important, and beware of, you know, crash and burn, because if you're developing a platform, usually they are complex in nature, and there's always a chance that something can go wrong. You have thought about all the use cases for maybe the last 6 months, everybody in the team has, but then you don't know what will happen when the rubber meets the road, right? And then when you set it out in the open, you know, some user will come up with some use case which nobody has thought about, and then things will fall through. So it's always good to run either a pilot or a beta or hover around, right? And I have all of those in slashes, because it really depends on what product you're talking about, you know, what stage that is in, and stuff like that, right? So when we do pilot, the way we do it is, at least we handpick a few and we tell them that, okay, you are going to be the first set of users that have ever seen this platform. Are you willing to give it a try with us? We also don't know exactly what will happen. But then some users do want to be early adopters, and they are up for it. They are game. Usually they have a great relationship with the company, and they'll come and sign up for the pilot. And we also make sure that, you know, we are profiling those users very carefully. Maybe their size. So because I'm part of the selling team at eBay, we look at how big that particular seller is, what kind of inventory they're selling, what kind of, you know, infrastructure they have, and then we handpick a few of them and ask them to do the pilot with us. Beta is more like, okay, I'm kind of sure I've done the pilot, and then I still don't know. There might be some bug floating out there in the open, so we're just calling it like a general release, I'll call it a beta, just to give the team a little more time to make sure that things are fine. And maybe we just have a few things here and there, but then that's when we do beta. And ramp is more like, okay, we are good. However, let's slowly ramp, because I don't know what will happen when more and more users start coming into the system. So it's more like, will the performance be fine? Will the scale be okay? Will the response times be good and as expected? Will we be able to service the users as you're supposed to? So that is when we gradually keep ramping. We start at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, done. So there are various kind of things that you can do when you're launching the product, and each has its own place. At times, it also depends on the feature. Not that we do everything for every feature, but it really depends on the day and the work. And the last thing that I want to call out, and that's the secret sauce, is time it right. So you might be putting in all the effort, you might be doing your big bang launch, you might be doing all of those things, but if you don't time it right, all your efforts might just go down the drain, because you also have to account for the time and effort of other teams, because you're talking about integrations, you're talking about work, you're talking about budget, you're talking about so many other things on their side. So if I were to give you an example, a lot of the teams, and again, in my company, are rushing through launches as we speak, because we're about to hit the Black Friday, the Thanksgiving is like the peaks is not to say. Right? So we want to roll out as many features for our buyers and sellers as we can right now, right? So like it's a peak period of activity. For my team, it's not. Because even if I launch 10 APIs, nobody is going to make any programmatic changes in a day's notice. Nobody is going to adopt it at this point, right? So for me right now, the main thing is to make sure that we are able to scale, we are able to perform, we don't break, we are just able to handle the traffic and the load. So that's the biggest thing for my team, not to roll out new features. Versus in Q1, we would start really early and we would start socializing all the new things that, so we are getting things ready, but we're simply not launching them because no one's going to adopt any of that. In Q1 and Q2, that's going to be my big period, because I'm going to launch a bunch of features, going to go and talk to our developers, our partners, everybody else in the ecosystem to make sure they start early so that they are ready by the mid-year. The sellers are ready in Q3 and the buyers do all the shopping in Q4. So my cycle is very different from some of the other cycles for some of the other teams. And it really, there's again, no right way to frame this, but if you have to time it right based on what you are dealing with, what your user base is, what their usage pattern is. So you have to keep that into account if you want your product to be successful, because if I launch now and my product doesn't see any adoption in the next 6 months, some executive is gonna say that, okay, your dashboard doesn't look very promising, maybe I don't push more funds into your product because it's not doing so well. But it just might be that the product is great, the timing was not right, and then that's why we didn't see the right adoption, and then we got adverse impact, right? Because like I said at the very beginning, the role of a PM is to also make sure that our business goals are met, our revenue targets are met, I get the right funding and the right level of attention from my execs, and my team's resources are depleted, right? Because the worst thing that can happen is your team gets taken away and then it gets put into some other product, right? So those are some of the things to keep in mind when working with platforms and
This must be planned well in advance, right? I mean, like you said, that at least a year in advance, you have to plan these launches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So usually it's not even a year. Even a year is not sufficient. Usually it's a multi-year thing that you have to think through. 18 months to start with and then beyond. Don't get me wrong, we always do quarterly planning and we are very agile as a team. Just because I'm talking multi-year doesn't mean everything is set in stone from last 10 years and that's what we're following. We do agile, we do daily scrum, sandals, but all those are just like delivery mechanisms, if you will. But then, the whole thing is, how do you balance it off? You have to have the big picture view and you also have to be able to zoom in on the day-to-day operation. So it's kind of about that. So this is what we covered. We talked about technical product management. We talked about the five things to keep in mind, and then some more in terms of how to make sure that your product is a success.
This podcast is made possible by Heap, a smarter approach to product analytics. From data-driven hypotheses to product insights, Heap offers product teams a clear pathway from data to decisions. Learn more at heap.io.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.